You are listening to a Bible study on Christ in the Old Testament by Pastor Lassman at Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington.
Gracious Father, thank you for this new year. Thank you for the blessings of the seasons of Advent and Christmas, and soon Epiphany will be upon us starting January 6th. We thank you for this word that you have given to us, the inscripturated word that tells us about the word that has been made flesh. Grant us your Holy Spirit through this word that we might understand and above all accept what you have revealed in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Deuteronomy. So we've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Old Testament, commonly referred to as the Pentateuch, which means five books. And this is what we read in Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 20. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses is speaking, from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. 17, the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. Let's pause here. When God comes in sort of his sheer power and, I don't know how else to say this, the nakedness of his being, sinners are always terrified. Always. Adam and Eve, before they fell into sin, lived right with God, didn't they? They fell into sin. What did they do immediately? They hid themselves from God. This is all through the scriptures. Every time God reveals himself. And that's what he's referring to. And so God gave, remember, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Right? And the mountain trembled and there was fire and smoke up there. Anybody who touched the mountain died. Okay? And the point is, they needed a mediator. They couldn't see God and his power and holiness. And that's what they're saying here. Okay? And God is agreeing with them. Okay, so back to verse 17. So the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Okay. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, and it goes on from there. Now, this was fulfilled in the prophets of the Old Testament. That's clear in the text. But it's ultimately fulfilled in Christ, and that's what we're going to see. So you see, God is promising them more or another Moses-like figure who talks face-to-face with God and comes and speaks the very words of God. So let's look at a couple passages that flesh this out and see it's referring to Christ. Let's see, the first one I'm going to go to, let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 3, verse 22. Actually, let's start at verse 17. Acts 3, 17. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did also your rulers. 18. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. 20. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. 23. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. 23. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets, verse 24, who have spoken from Samuel And those who came after him also proclaimed these days, 25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, that's Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And then let's go to Acts 7, 37. Acts 7, 37. Let's see. Let's put it in, let's start at verse 35. Acts 7, 35. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. 37. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. 38. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai with our fathers. He received living oracles to give to us. Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they returned to Egypt. And it goes on from there. What you want to see in part two is, and we'll look up another passage here or there, just as Moses was a mediator sent by God, so Jesus was a mediator sent by God. And, of course, the people initially rejected Moses. Remember that? And so the people also rejected Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, towards the back. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and following. It's on page 2105 if you have the New Study Bible, 2105. Hebrews 1:1, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Now, what I want you to see there is, in that original Deuteronomy prophecy, that included the prophets. That's what he said, kind of says here, too. But it finally culminates in Jesus, the Son of God, which is the final and last word. The prophets came and they would bring more and more revelation about the Christ. But once the Christ came, there is no more new revelation. It's done. We have a full revelation. Okay, let's go over to, I didn't write it down, I was going by memory. Let's try Hebrews 3, verse 1 and following. Hebrews 3, 1 and following. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. Verse 3. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. So again, you see the idea of a parallel, and yet Jesus the Son is greater than Moses. And then there's a passage, I didn't write it down, I don't know if I could find it real quick, unless somebody else can. I meant to do it and I didn't. In John's Gospel, Jesus, on more than one occasion, says that he came to speak the very words of God, which is what we see in the Deuteronomy passage as well. So he is that greater prophet that is spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy. We'll take questions about 10 after the hour. So let's go now to Joshua. Go back to the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And I'm not going to look up any specific passage here, but a couple of things. And I think many of you already know this. Remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And the point we want to make now is Joshua, of course, is a Hebrew name. Okay. Jesus is the Greek version of Joshua. You've heard this before, I think. Just like you can have an anglicized name in another language, Spanish, it's something else like George's Jorge. What's John in Spanish? Juan, things like that. So that's what this is. And he's given the name Jesus, and remember, and I don't know if we'll look this up, it's in, get the exact reference here. I didn't have it written down. It's in Matthew's gospel. Remember, it's the angel who names the boy. Mary and Joseph don't name the child. God names the child via the angel Gabriel, and he's named Jesus. And this is where I always joke, you know, when I was a kid, you know, kids always ask questions in Sunday school that the Sunday school teachers don't want to hear, you know. Well, why did they name him Jesus? Why didn't they name him Bob or Fred or some other Bible name like Moses or Aaron? And it's because it says in Matthew, he will save his people from his sins, right? Know what it says? Save his people. That's what it says in Matthew. From their sins. Well, unless you know what I'm going to say, and some of you already know it, that doesn't really help you very much. Well, still, why was the name Jesus? What's the connection? Well, because you have to know that Jesus is the Hebrew form of Joshua, and Joshua is a combination of two words, okay? You can almost see it here, Jehovah or Yahweh, and the Hebrew verb shua, salvation. God saves is what the word, the name Joshua means, okay? God saves. So he's given the name Joshua, or in Greek translated Jesus, because this man would literally live up to his name. This is the man, Jesus, Joshua, who would save his people from their sins. And so we see that already in the name Joshua. The other thing, of course, is we're told that, well, let's see, let's put it this way. Who did Moses, I gave it away. Who did Joshua succeed? I'm always easy on my catechism students, too. It's just, that's why they all pass. I'm so easy. Moses preceded. Okay, and let's look up John 1:7. Look up John 1:7. 17. I misspoke. Not 7. Verse 17. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Joshua means God saves. Okay? The law came through Moses. Where was Joshua going to lead the people? To the promised land. Right. Okay, and it's the same with Jesus. We have the law of Moses, right, which condemns us. Law of God, right? But in Jesus Christ, we find what? Forgiveness, who leads us to the promised land, which is eternal life and the new world yet to come. And we kind of see that also when we have John, the baptizer, okay, who precedes Jesus. And while I'm not going to say that John didn't preach any gospel, he did. He was still known for what? Law. Right? Law, because he was preparing the way for Jesus. That's law. Yeah, I know some of you didn't see the L. Let me do it again. Law. So the law prepared for the coming of Jesus. Prepare the way. Well, for those who are studying law and gospel and becoming more proficient at law and gospel and the distinctions and the knowledge of all that, remember, the law prepares for the gospel because the law basically shows us what? Our sin and our need for salvation, God's forgiveness. And only then can the gospel come in and then heal the wounds of our exposed guilt and sin. And that's what the gospel does through forgiveness, as in, for example, baptism, all of our sins are washed away. So we see that not only in the idea of Moses in John 1:17, that Moses brought the law, but grace and truth came through the gospel, but in another way we also see it in John, who did preach some gospel, no doubt about it, but he was heavy on the law, preparing the way for Jesus to come, who brings ultimately the gospel. By the way, that's one of the fun things about studying the Bible. Some things are very obvious in the Bible, and that's good. But the more you study the Bible, you can just see... Let's do it this way. Think of this as something on the surface of water or something. Many people just stay at the surface of the Bible, right? What I'm trying to show you, and you can see this in the study of Christ in the Old Testament, you can just keep going what? This is what's fun about studying the Bible. Because some things that aren't real obvious, when you start studying, all of a sudden you start making what? Connections. See? And that's what we do in things like this. Otherwise, if that wasn't true, we wouldn't study the Bible and say, oh, I know it all. But when you realize, you can just keep going deeper and deeper. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther said it this way. He said, the Bible is like a river or a creek or something like that. There are some parts that are very shallow. That'd be safe for a baby to go out and sit in and kind of play around in it, you know. And then there's other places that, you know, large animals could drown in it. And that's what he meant about the Bible. Some parts of the Bible are so easy to understand, and rightly so. John 3:16. There's other parts of Scripture. If you just keep looking and studying, you just keep going deeper and deeper, and it's all about Christ. There's no other message than Christ. Okay, so we have those thoughts and ideas about Joshua. Let's go now to Judges. So it's Joshua. And there is something very interesting here in Joshua. No, in Judges, over and over again, we hear about the angel of the Lord. And we've talked about the angel of the Lord in other studies, including when we did our Daniel study. We had a couple of references to the angel of the Lord. As a rough count, and this may stun you, the angel of the Lord reference is 52 times in the Old Testament. 52 times. Who is this character of the angel of the Lord? We can't do an exhaustive study on that, but we're going to look at Judges in just a minute. But the angel of the Lord is clearly divine. When we look at all the passages, we might see a couple of passages. In other words, the angel of the Lord appears to be profoundly different from angels. There's angels, and then there's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And clearly it has, when you look up all the passages, clearly he's associated with God, being divine himself. We're going to look up a couple of passages in Joshua. So usually... what most biblical scholars refer to it when we come to the Trinity, which Pastor Mankin talked about this morning in his sermon, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know, of course, that by the time we get to Christmas, it's the second person of the triune God who comes into the world as the man we call Jesus. But most biblical scholars refer to the angel of the Lord as also the second person of the triune God temporary human form. Because the angel of the Lord is always in human form in the Old Testament. But it's temporary. Just like angels, even in the New Testament, can take on a temporary human form. Otherwise, you can't see them. Yeah. So, for example, there were angels at the tomb when Jesus was raised from the dead. But they were in human form. Okay? But those are temporary, those human bodies of angels, because angels don't have bodies, they're spirits. But that doesn't help you if you can't see them. But the angel of the Lord always shows up in human form, and clearly he is divine. He is God. And so you have all these mysteries that you are pulled in deeper and deeper to go deeper to find out about the angel of the Lord. So we can't do everything about the angel of the Lord. 52 references, but let's look up a couple of them in Judges. So let's go to Judges 2. Hopefully I've got all my references right here. Judges 2, Let's do 1 to 4. Or 5. Judges 2, let's say 1 to 5. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt. Now did you hear that? You catch it? You got to listen carefully. What did the angel say? I brought you up from... Well, what do we read? Who brought God people from Israel up from Egypt? God did. And this angel of the Lord says, I brought you up. That's all over the place with the angel of the Lord. Into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now remember, this is the angel of the Lord speaking. What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare to you. For as soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept, and they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Okay, let's go to chapter 5, verse 3. Oh, boy. Is that there? I don't see it. What did I do there? 5, did I mean 13? Okay. Pardon me? I've got that written down. I'm going to get to that one. Thank you. I don't know what I do when I do this. I do not know what I do, what I did, what I did. You remember Romans chapter 7. Okay. Let's go to 6:11. I'm not sure what happened there. Hopefully the next one will be better. Yes. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat, human form, under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and Abiezer, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat and the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, remember, human form, temporary human form, and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where all these wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord turned to him and said, now wait a minute. Who's been talking? The angel of the Lord. Right? And now all of a sudden, this same being, this angel of the Lord, is referred to as what? The Lord turned to him and said, go in the night of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. And it goes on from there. Let's go to verse 21 and 22 in chapter 6, hopefully. 21 and 22 in chapter 6. Okay, and this is what we read. Got to find it. So then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Now let's pause here. This is where you study. Gideon perceived this was the angel of the Lord. In other words, Gideon already what? Had the what? The concept, the idea of what? The angel of the Lord, some special being. He didn't say, well, I wonder what this was. No, the point is he seems to know, doesn't he? Perceived, understood, this was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And then 23, but the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Remember what I said about being in the presence of the holy God? Yeah. And that's the way he felt once he understood. Whoa. Now watch. This was the angel of the Lord. He said, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. Let's go to, as Bev said, 13, chapter 13. A couple of references here. We'll start at verse 3. 13:3. Then we'll go elsewhere in the chapter. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren, and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now let's go down to hopefully verse 15 and following. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. Again, and it's obvious in all the references, again, the angel of the Lord is in a human form. 16, and the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord, that's Yahweh. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Did you get that? In other words, this guy was talking as if he didn't understand that the angel of the Lord was who? God. 17, and Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is what? Okay, a trigger should go off. Wonderful. Where does that come in the Christmas story? What prophet? Isaiah. His name shall be Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor and all that, right? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it to the rock, to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. Well, that's got to be the angel of the Lord. That's what he said there. Okay, I think that's as far as we can go. Did we go to 18? Yeah, okay, we're good there. Let's go to 20 and 21. Yeah, 20 and 21. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now, remember, this would be in human form. Now, Manoah's wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. 21, and the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen over and over. Remember, there's 52 references. We're just looking at a few in Judges. This mysterious figure in the Old Testament mentioned 52 times. The angel of the Lord is always divine. And again, biblical scholars say this is the second person of the triune God who showed up in the Old Testament in temporary human form, but ultimately became permanent human form at Christmas. God becomes man forever. Okay, we need to stop there. We're going to run out of time. So let me make a note here. And we're going to pick it up. This would be a nice way to pick it up. We're going to pick it up with Ruth next Sunday. And that's January 8th, isn't it? Okay, let's end with prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for this time together, searching deeper into your holy word. And seeing that indeed, as Jesus himself said, he is the heart of the entire scriptures, including the Old Testament. Bless us, dear Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we might indeed have faith in him, that we might have hope. In his name we pray. Amen.